John's Gospel, chapter number 14. The Lord has been dealing and speaking to our hearts about our heart for quite some time. And I don't see that maybe the Lord's going to be done with that for a while. I don't know that we'll deal with it consecutively or how that we'll deal with that, but I do know that for a fact that the Lord has got us on it, without a doubt. A lot of times I'm guilty of maybe dealing with symptoms instead of going to the root of the problem. And I've noticed in our study that when Jesus would deal with an issue with his disciples, that he'd always deal with the heart. He wouldn't deal necessarily with what they did. He would tell them, here's why you did it. And we've looked at already, we've focused our attention on a hard heart in Mark chapter 6. We've also looked at a distant heart in Matthew 15. And then for a few services, we've been dealing and will be dealing with a troubled heart in John 14, verse number 1. If you'll go back in chapter 13 with me, I want to start reading in verse 33. And we'll read down through chapter 14, verse 6, for sake of time. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. This will probably not be in the message this morning, I'm about sure, but you're to underscore the word now and the word afterwards in that verse. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? If you'll notice this, verse 37, Peter's making it a statement, but Jesus has turned it and made it a question. Will you lay down your life for my sake? Question mark. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. My goodness, don't you know that was an eye-opener? Peter just got through, in essence, boasting. You can count on me, Lord. You can count on me. I will lay down my life for thy sake. And the Lord's response to that was, you're going to deny me. Wow. Chapter 14, verse 1, he now goes to the root of the problem as to why they are responding in the latter verses of chapter 13, particularly and personally why Peter was responding the way that he responded, and how that even Jesus said, this is coming, you're going to deny me, Peter, you're going to deny me. And here's why. Let not your heart be troubled. He's essence saying, Peter, the reason you are doing and acting the way you're acting now and the way that you're going to deny in the future is because of the condition of your heart. You have a troubled heart, Peter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Man, I can't hardly wait to get in these verses, but I won't get there this morning. Whet your appetite a little bit. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And a verse that everybody ought to have committed to memory if you've been saved any length of time, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That verse answers, clarifies, straightens up a lot of false ideas in our land. Amen? Let's bow for a prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to have read the opened, inspired, preserved Word of God. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to assemble here this morning and with freedom and liberty. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, how you've been working in my own heart and in my spirit. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, dear Father, that, Lord, that you will help me to help this congregation. Lord, those that would be listening, those that would be watching, we'd ask God that you would help me to be your channel, your vessel, your conduit. Lord, that you can flow through us, dear Father, instruction and help and a word, Lord, from you, divinely sent this morning. Do what cannot be done of human resources. We pray that the Spirit of God will be ungrieved and unquenched here this morning, and you would have liberty to work in us, on us, and through us. Have your way, Lord, this morning. Save sinners. Lord, I pray, deliver us from the control and influence of a troubled heart. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, please, as we look in to these verses together. We've been looking at, as I stated earlier, a troubled heart. And we've noticed here in this passage of Scripture, I believe last Sunday night, we noticed the first thing was some common points about a troubled heart. Just some common, just you can see from observation. The first one is the troubled heart is personal. He did not say let their hearts be troubled or let not their hearts be troubled. He said let not your heart be troubled. So it's personal. Your spirituality is personal. Your spiritual temperature is personal. Your spiritual direction is personal. Amen. What you do in life, where you go, what you accomplish, all of those things are personal. Amen. So the first thing we note about just a common point is that a troubled heart is a personal heart. It's personal. Number two, we noted on Sunday night as well that it is powerful. A troubled heart should not be treated lightly, as it can destroy, literally, your life. Amen. So it's powerful. And we shared some additional information as to what showed us the powerful aspect about a troubled heart. Number three, we noticed that it is permitted. A troubled heart is permitted. And we locked our focus on that point in to the very first word of chapter 14, verse 1. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. That is, you gave a conscious decision to it. You allowed its entrance. When you let somebody in at your house, they're knocking at the door. They're on the outside. And they only are going to come in as you let them in. You opened the door. You made an access. You made an entrance. You made it available to them to come in. In fact, a lot of times when you open the door to someone knocking, you don't just open the door, but many times you will give an invitation to that. Come in. Come on in. Amen. And so this is the same idea behind the word let not your heart be troubled. So it is permitted. And then we noticed also, using that same word let, that it lets us see that it is preventable. If I can let, then I can let not. Let not your heart be troubled. So it is preventable this morning. I hope God has made that big in our hearts. I hope God has made that big to us this morning that, listen, that whatever condition I'm in, I have permitted it and I could have also prevented it. And of course, could have added this one. Brother Matt mentioned to me Sunday night after the service. He said, "Preach, you could have added another thought there." And I said, when he told me, I said, "I will definitely add that." He said, "It is not permanent. A troubled heart is not permanent. If you may in your heart this morning be in bad shape, and oh God help us how many times we've all been there. But you know what? It is not a fixed position. It's not permanent. There's help for a hurting heart, a troubled heart. There's victory that can be had and experienced where a troubled heart is engaged." So we've already looked at some of those things. But number two, we're going to move on now from the common points about a troubled heart. And I want to now deal with the caused problem of a troubled heart. And that is, a troubled heart don't just happen. And by the way, have you ever seen such a day where there's so many people with troubled hearts? I'm not talking about lost people. That's a given. I'm talking about even in church. Amen. I can't hardly even stand to talk to preachers anymore much because they, every one of them has got the same general story. And it's depressing. And I've been on the giving end of that conversation myself more than I should have. And people are struggling with a troubled heart. How many of you would agree with me that it's not God's will for churches to be dead? There's no way you can see that it would be the will of God. Well, then what's the cause of it? Amen? Why is that happening? A church that's declining. A church that's dying. A church that's drying up. A church that's silent of praise. A church that's losing ground in the area of commitment and devotion to the Lord. That cannot be God's will. It cannot be God's will. I believe what's behind it is a troubled heart. A troubled heart is behind all decline. A troubled heart is behind all disobedience. A troubled heart is behind all discouragement comes from a troubled heart. Amen? All defeat is from a troubled heart. And you could run that on and on. But we know that. But instead of dealing with the root of the problem, which is a troubled heart, we want to put Band-Aids on things. So what are some of the causes? What is some of the causes? The first one I want to deal with, and I hope God will help me this morning to deal with all of these, but I don't know that I'll get to all of them. The first thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to emphasize is it is a carnal problem. A troubled heart is not the fruit of the Spirit. For you to have a troubled, agitated heart. Remember Sunday night, we likened it and illustrated it with a wash machine. Remember that? Many times we are just like a wash machine. In that outwardly, we don't see no movement. We don't see no motion. It just seems like it's stabilized. It's right where it needs to be. But on the inside, when you open the lid, there's all kinds of emotion and commotion. And there's agitation. In fact, that thing in there working is called an agitator. Are we like that this morning? Outwardly, we've got people fooled. We got people thinking that we're doing A-OK, but on the inside, there's a lot of turmoil. I believe it'll help us to know this morning that a troubled heart is not spiritual. The Spirit of God doesn't produce it. It's not of His doing. It's not God's will. Don't make light of it. Don't make excuses for it. Amen. If you have a troubled, agitated heart that's starting to influence you as Peter, his heart was influencing him here, you better deal with that pretty quick, because a troubled heart doesn't stay on one level, it always gets worse and worse. Amen. I wrote this down. I never really thought of it until studying this message. Most people in church, and I've been guilty, most people in church operate with a carnal spirituality. You say, what are you talking about? A carnal spirituality. That's when you do nothing except spiritualize the flesh. And carnal spirituality is easy to identify because as long as everything's going good, you are doing good. But when problems come and change comes and difficulties come, then you fall apart. That is a carnal spirituality. That's spiritualizing the flesh. Amen. Paul, it didn't matter if he was in a prison. It didn't matter where he was at. It didn't matter what was going on with him in his life. You find him consistent, stable, steadfast. But when there is a carnal aspect of our spiritual life, then it's gauged by circumstances. Whatever's going on around us, if it's good, praise God, preacher, hallelujah, it's a good day. But what about if it's not good? Then we fall apart. You think that's the will of God? That can't be. I say unto you, a troubled heart today comes from a carnal, fleshly source. But here's what I've seen. Here's what I've seen as we looked at a hardened heart and a distant heart, and now we're looking at a troubled heart. What I have seen in all cases is where the disciples were dealing with difficulties through the energy of the flesh. Mark 6, they were toiling and rowing. Why were they struggling? It was because they were not dealing with that storm from a spiritual perspective. They were dealing with it from their own human aspects. And Jesus rebuked them and told them, the reason you're struggling, he said, here's why. He said, you considered not the miracle of the loaves, for your heart was hardened. Amen. Jesus is saying, the flesh, if you want to blame somebody, if you want to blame something, if you want to look for a cause for a troubled heart, an agitated heart, an aggravated heart, amen, an upset inner life, then look no further than your flesh. Amen. Number two, I had more to say on that, but I want to move on. Number two, if you'll notice in verse 34 and 35, he comes to the end of verse 33. He's addressing little children. And he comes to verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now notice this. I've already pointed it out, but it's worth noting again. Notice the next thing out of Peter's mouth. Jesus, or Lord, where goest thou? He just got through telling them he's leaving in verse 33. Peter picks up with that same conversation in verse 36. And he completely misses verse 34 and 35. Now, you may not think much about that, but here's what I believe it is. The second cause of a troubled heart is not only a carnal problem, but number two, there's a commandment problem. If you wanted to add another word to that point, not only a commandment problem, but there's a conscious problem. Peter, having in his very presence the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to them directly about instructions of loving one another, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another, and they missed it. Peter never even heard it. Peter never even gave no indication that he ever even heard it. Here's the point. When you have a troubled heart, and I have a troubled heart, we have a deaf ear to a word from God. Amen. There's no telling how much of help has been completely missed
Because all, listen, come here, a troubled heart only wants to hear what is associated with the trouble. If you want to talk about my valley and my battle and my hardship, hey, I've got two ears. I'll listen to everything you got to say. Amen. In other words, you're looking for sympathy. Somebody that'll sympathize with your sorrows instead of giving you help. Peter was getting a word from the Lord directly and personally. You couldn't blame the preacher right here, buddy. Are y'all listening? Jesus Christ himself was preaching verse 34 and 35. And they missed it. Before Jesus started in verse 34, he said, I'm leaving. My departure is at hand. I'm going away. And he covers that his departure from chapter 13, verse 31, all the way through the last verse of chapter 17. That whole section of scripture is dealing with Jesus, dealing with his disciples and his people about leaving. He's leaving. Amen. But Peter and him missed it. A troubled heart focuses more on circumstances than on commandments. Amen. Am I not right there? Sure I am. Hey, what's this right here? People, listen, I know what I'm talking about. They focus more on circumstances than they do commandments. And here's how I know that when troubles come in their life, hardships come in their life, adversities come in their life, circumstances that are not pleasant in their life comes into their life, guess what they do? They'll turn from commandments. They'll lay down the commandments of God. They'll disregard what they know is right and expected of them and start doing what they feel like they need to do. I had an individual I talked to on the phone yesterday. Don't know them from Adam. If they're here, I don't know it. If they're watching, I don't know it. Said he'd been out of church for 30 years. Said, but we've got our little thing going on. We have our little talks at the house. Are y'all listening? You say what? I said, what do you think Hebrews 10:25 has to say about that? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. I said, what about this verse of scripture? Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. I said, he loved the church enough to die for it. I think we ought to love it enough to go to it and be faithful in it and so forth. Amen. I said, you're talking to the wrong person. You're talking to the wrong person. Call wanting some help, and they got plenty they didn't call for. I said, you're talking to the wrong person about what God will do in your heart and salvation concerning the church. I said, I ran away from home at 20 years old, 19, 20 years old, because of an issue of going to church. And I said, when God saved me, Brother Aaron, when God saved me, I said, instantly he put a love and an attachment in my heart to God's people. Lay aside the commandments. Don't listen to them. Have a deaf ear. I've got to hurry on. Listen to this right here. The flesh has no spiritual eye or ear for a spiritual word. Worst thing you can do is lean on the flesh when your heart is troubled. In fact, usually that's the reason it is troubled. Amen? There's a connection between what you hear and how you speak. Listen to Peter talk in verse number 36 and 7, and you'll find out that what he says tells us what he did not hear. Listen to people talk, and it will reveal what they did not hear, what they do not hear. Oh my goodness. My desire is to help you. My desire is to spend time in the Word of God to help you. I was talking to Brother Aldridge this week. And Brother Aldridge said, Preacher, he said, God never raised you up to be the man that you are for you to just be an average preacher. Are y'all listening? And that don't puff me up, but I'll tell you what it does. It's a reality to me, and it is a desire in me that I don't want to be just a normal preacher, average preacher, amen, just another preacher. I want to be one, buddy, that will spend some time in the book and set the table for you and give you something that will help you in life. But I don't know how much preaching I've done over the years, 37 years plus of preaching, that has went on deaf ears because of a troubled heart. So it's a commandment or a conscious problem. Thirdly, a third problem I believe causes a troubled heart is a change problem. Jesus is telling Peter, basically, things are now fixing to change. I'm leaving. They've been used to Peter. They've been used to Jesus being there every step of the journey. You know, if they was hungry, feed them miraculously. If they were sick, heal them miraculously. They had developed a dependence on the physical bodily presence of the Lord, but not upon Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. I wrote this down. If you are only using Christ, He is not using you. And I want to tell you, friend, from Preacher Rackley through the pulpit, through the pews, through the congregation watching, I want to tell you it's easy to use Christ. As a handyman, a quick fix, a turn it around. Lord, we have a problem, fix it. We have a need, supply it. And instead of looking at Him and honoring Him, we look at His handouts and miss His hand. You'd be shocked how many people listen to this preacher this morning that really is controlled largely in your life. You are controlled largely by what Jesus does for you instead of who He is. Amen. You know that's right. A change problem. Listen to this. Peter, watch this now. This got big to me. Peter, because of his troubled heart, will always choose the lesser. Would you not agree tonight, this morning, that Jesus is telling Peter and the disciples here of the bigger and the brighter and the more the big plan of God? I'm going to Calvary. I'm leaving. I come here to die. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to pay the sin debt. Wouldn't you say that's big? You don't get no bigger. Be buried, rise again the third day. So he's telling Peter this. And Peter said in another passage, be it far from thee, Lord. That ain't happening. And the Lord showed me this, Miss Susan. Had Peter been the one that was making the choices, there would have never been a Calvary. A troubled heart will always choose the lesser and the smaller and the earthly aspect of the spiritual life. But thank God, standing in front of Peter was the Lamb of God that would not be influenced by Peter's selfish, small vision. Peter liked it the way it was. He liked having Jesus there all the time. Do you think that we've got it better than they had it? Let me give you an example. Jesus was not omnipresent. Omni means all, present, everywhere. He wasn't everywhere present. If he was in Galilee, he wasn't in Jerusalem. If he was over there with Peter, then he may not have been down there with some of the other people. We've got it better than now. Amen. I don't have to ask if you're saved, do you have Jesus with you? Do you have Jesus with you? Because I know that wherever there's a believer, there is the presence of the Lord. Peter was saying, No, that's not going to happen, Lord. I'll lay down my life. I'm telling you, I'll lay down my life. I'm not accepting change. Troubled hearts most of the time comes when things change. when things change physically, God help us. Boy, I see that happening. Amen. My wife don't encourage me a lick on it either, and she's probably watching. She said, you're just falling apart. You're an old man. You're just falling apart. I said, 57 ain't old. Amen. I mean, I got chiropractors on speed dial and everything else, but that don't mean nothing. Are you listening? When things change physically, you don't welcome that. You don't like that. You don't want that. If you had your choice, it would never happen. You like going to the doctor? I despise it. Miss Betty was telling us this morning about the shots that she has to get in her eyes. Hey, just knock me in the head. A needle in my eye? Forget it. But the truth is, you'll do whatever you have to do. You'll go through whatever you have to go through to hopefully have a betterment of the physical. When things change physically, when things change financially. Do you think that, listen, and I want to tell you, thank God for our country economically on an uprise. I was listening to the news last night and they was talking about just this year alone how many billions of dollars have been saved. And how many jobs are coming and how many, everything's just exploding economically in our country. But don't forget, that won't last. That won't last. It's going to be good while it lasts, but it's not going to last. If something happens and there's a reversal financially, I wonder how many would quit church. I wonder how many would lay their Bible down. I wonder how many would throw their convictions aside. I wonder how many would fold up their faith like and put it in a drawer somewhere. You know why? We've got a lot of things attached to our heart that doesn't need to be attached to our heart. The more things that you allow to get plugged into your heart is more things that will discourage you and depress you, amen, and distract you in life. Amen. A troubled heart comes from a change problem. Peter didn't like the change that was going to be taking place. He liked it the way that it was. Amen. My soul. Peter didn't like it. He didn't like it, and he made a move to try to correct it. He tried to correct even the divine plan of God that was taking place in front of him. Amen. My goodness. Peter clearly was accusing Jesus of doing or allowing wrong to be done. You think of that. Peter was accusing Jesus Christ of allowing something to happen that should not be happening. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if that don't show us the brazen audacity of a troubled heart to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and basically say, you are doing wrong. Come on now. We're all in this thing together. I want to tell you what I know. Listen, I would never from my lips, Brother Bill, say, Lord, you done me wrong. But when you're discouraged, that's exactly what you're saying. When you get down spiritually and you become, listen, you get detached from spiritual things in your spiritual walk with God, all of those things basically summarized, when you boil it down, is telling God, you have wronged me. I don't like the plan you're doing. I don't like the change. And buddy, I want to tell you, there's been a lot of things happen in my ministry that I don't like. I didn't like it when it happened. I would have not allowed it if I could have had the choice. One of the hardest things to deal with is change. Amen. Hardest thing in the world to deal with is change. I tell preachers all the time, they talk about they're going to leave. I said, where are you going? I said, you're going to a perfect church? You're going to find a perfect church? If you do, don't join it. You'll mess it up. I said, where are you going to go? Amen. I know God moves people. I know God moves preachers and all that sort of thing. But I think a lot of moving is going on. Listen, is, and I've almost done it several times, it's based in a troubled heart, a troubled heart. Amen? Fourthly, or whatever it is. This is a biggie right here. This is a big one. I'm talking about problems that cause it. Caused problems. It is a control problem. This is one of the first ones that the Lord showed me. I want you to get this. You know why Peter was acting the way he did? You know why Peter reacted the way he did? He was wanting to be in control. How many of us have been discouraged by things that happened that I could not and did not control? Hello? Oh yes, God was doing major and big and eternal things, but it was out of Peter's control that led Jesus to address his troubled heart. Amen? I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 3 real quick. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. The reason I'm having you to turn to this verse is because this is the first mention. How many knows what we're talking about when we talk about first mention? We're talking about the first mention principle. When you go back and you look and find something that is mentioned in its first mention, it will carry that same emphasis and usage throughout. Well, we find the word troubled in John 14, 1. We find it first mentioned and illustrated in Matthew chapter 2 in verse number, well, let's just start reading in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. All right, here we go. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was what? Troubled. Same identical word. And then it said, and all Jerusalem with him. We have here before us the exact demonstration of what Peter himself was experiencing. You know why Herod acted the way he acted and reacted the way he reacted? It's because he was being challenged about his control. He is King Herod with a small case K. But the one born in the Bethlehem, in the barn in Bethlehem, was capital K-I-N-G. And so he immediately felt troubled because now someone is on the scene that is going to be in control and is going to take the control away from me. And Herod, just like our flesh, Herod made a move to annihilate this king. Oh boy. How many of you here this morning or watching, listen, you are troubled this morning because of things that are out of your control. Things that you, Miss Donna Seabolt sings the song here. I believe it's in Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? But one of the verses, maybe in the first verse, says it's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. Brother, I want to tell you, we're just made up that way. All of us are made up that way from the time we're born into this world to be in control. That's why you have rebellious children. They don't want parents to control. Amen. That's why they pitch fits and hisses and throw things and kick and stomp. Amen. And get the poochy lip and pout until mom and daddy comes catering to their every wish. It's because they're born with a desire to control. And most parents, come on now, and most parents, to just avoid problems, cater to that control. And I want to tell you what you're doing. You're creating a monster. Amen. I've heard kids talk to their parents worse than a dog, I'm talking about. Be in Walmart or a place of business, hear them over four, five, six aisles. Plumb on another aisle in the store, screaming and like a Comanche Indian, pitching a hissy. I mean, I don't know. And you know what I'm saying on my aisle? Bust their tail. Bust their hind end. But you know what? I'll make my way over through there, and it's never failed, almost never failed. I'll make my little curious way over through to where they're at, and there's that little youngin' with a buggy full of toys. You know why? He screamed or she screamed and pitched a hiss in. Amen. Disrupted the entire shopping experience of the whole store. But the answer is give them what they want to shut them up. No, take them into the bathroom. Son, I guarantee you my daddy would have not bought me no toy. I'd have needed some bandages from the pharmaceutical section, but I wouldn't have got no toy. Amen right there. Amen. Whoever invented time out needs their head examined. That's right. I'm glad. Listen, it was hurtful. It was hurtful. But I'm glad Daddy didn't believe in time out. He believed in passing out, but he didn't believe in time out. Amen. You say, but it worked. It ruined you. Well, it must not have. Out of his three children, two sons are preachers, and my sister married a preacher. Amen, and we're serving the Lord, and two of her daughters are right here in the service this morning. I don't think it hurt us too bad. Say amen right there. Well, anyway, I got to get off that. Control. Herod was troubled. Why? Because a new king had showed up. Whoop. If you don't think your flesh will be a king that will fight Jesus over control, you get saved and see what happens. And that's one of the great indications to know that you are saved is there's a battle between who's going to be king in your life. Your flesh will fight it. Your flesh will oppose it. Your flesh will be troubled through and through over it. Amen? That's right. Same thing. Why was Herod troubled? Same reason you're troubled. I'm troubled. We have a control issue. Things are happening that we don't like or don't want. We want to control it, and we can't. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to do. I'm telling you, that's the hardest thing for me to do. And I'm not in this thing alone. I guarantee it is for you as well. It's hard. Amen. My wife's told me several times, preacher, you can't. Or she don't call me preacher. I can't tell you all she called me. But no, I'm just kidding. He said, you can't control people's lives. I'm not trying to control people's lives. I don't want to control. I'm not that depressed. I don't want to control people's lives. But I want to have the ability to be able to pastor you. In other words, I should have freedom and from my position, a God-given position, to be able to point out something in your life that I'm concerned about. And do so with tears even. I ought to be able to do that. I ought to be able to be able to say something to your children from a pastor's heart about an area in their life that I'm concerned about without being jumped on by the mom and daddy. Are y'all listening? I've had that to happen. Right in front of their children. I've had them to confront me and chew me out. And I said, let me tell you, Daddy, what you just did. I said, you just removed any possibility of any future preacher pastoring your children. Because they know they don't have to take it, and Daddy will take up for them. And I would be saddened even to mention where those children are today. The wrecked, ravaged lives of their children. Can I say this? This may be off just right on the sideline. One of the most important relationships you'll ever have in your spiritual life is with your pastor. Are you listening? And when you make a step down from that in your heart, in your mind, may not be outwardly, in your heart, in your mind, that's one of the first major steps in the wrong direction. Amen. These young preachers, I should have the right and I do have the right as a pastor to pull them aside and speak some correction or some instruction to them without mom and daddy getting all fuzzed up. I've had that to happen to me. Are you listening? It's about made me gun shy. It's about made me gun shy. Every time I try to step out and try to help somebody, they throw me under the bus. You know what I've almost got to do? And it ain't right. It ain't right. If you need help, you come and ask me. Other than that, I ain't saying a word. And that ain't right. If I love you, I care about you. And amen. That's right. I ought to be able to speak a word to you, Brother Ben, in an area, or Brother Samuel, any of you. Amen. Brother Mike, Brother Craig, any of the preachers here, Brother Fultz, any of them. I ought to be able to speak a word of instruction to you if it's needed. Or even a word of correction if it's needed. Amen. Without having to get a reprimand. Amen. You say, where are you getting that at? Herod, listen, Brother Mark, Herod was troubled. And a man of God came on the scene named John the Baptist, pointed his long finger in Herod's face and dealt with his sin. I'm talking about pointed it out and called it by name. But because Herod was troubled, had him killed or honored the request to have him beheaded. God's man, Jesus said, none's greater of a woman's ever been born than John the Baptist. But Herod, because of a troubled heart, sought to kill the man of God. Watch this right here. My soul, this point's big. Ain't no way I can get it all in. But it's because he had a control. He wanted to control. He had a threat and he wanted to take him out. And here's what I know about a controlling heart as illustrated with Herod. Herod did not care about nobody but himself. I don't have time to deal with it this morning, but I have dealt with it here before of the people that Herod had killed. I'm talking about loved ones, relatives, immediate family members. Because they got in his way, he had them taken out. Brother, you better watch a troubled heart. A troubled heart will make you selfish on a level that you will do whatever's necessary to eliminate any opposing forces. You say, what did he do? He had every male boy, baby, 2 years old and under, killed. Merciless. Amen. Look at this, our text, that verse in verse number 3, Matthew 2, verse 3. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Watch this. And all Jerusalem with him. A troubled heart is personal, but it'll never stay personal. A troubled heart that got in Herod eventually influenced the whole nation or city of Jerusalem. And I went back and looked, Brother Aaron. They said there was estimated 40,000 people resident in Jerusalem at that time. One person, troubled heart, troubled the whole, everybody around him. Troubled everybody around him. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Amen. Oh, mercy. The troubled heart of Herod is seen to be militant against Christ. And if I've got a troubled heart, it is the work of the enemy to make me also an enemy to Christ. A troubled heart is not a friend of Christ. A troubled heart is an enemy of Christ. Amen. God help us. Herod was troubled over becoming an inferior king because there was a superior king that had showed up. Let me give you this right here, and I'm winding her down right here. Listen. Talking about a control. Peter was wanting to control the situation. Turn back to John 14 real quick. When I saw this, and I never saw this before, I didn't read it, God showed it to me. When you come to chapter 13 of John, and you come to verse
37. Peter said unto the Lord, why cannot I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Watch this right here. And Jesus answered him, verse 38, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. I want everybody to watch this. I've never seen this before. Jesus never said another word to Peter till chapter 18. When Jesus addressed the troubled heart in verse number 1 of chapter 14, he never says another word to Peter until you come to chapter number 18. And here's the first time it shows up. What are we talking about right now? That control problem. The first thing that shows up a few chapters later, here's the first thing, Brother Aaron, that was said about Peter. First time his name appears after John 13, the last verses there of John 13. Here it is. John 18 and verse number 10 is the next time Peter's name shows up. Then Simon Peter, having his sword drawn, still battling in control. Still wanting to take matters into his own hands. Still will not submit to the Lord. Still trying to change things from happening. I'm telling you, folks, a troubled heart is dangerous. Don't make light of it. It's dangerous and it's destructive. Peter was given to pride, self-confidence, arrogancy. He thought that he was big enough to confront even the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you this, and I am done. The last one as a problem, chapter 14, verse 1, and this really needs to be dealt with more than what time I have, but listen to this. I want you to listen to these words. Let not your heart be troubled. And then Jesus makes a statement, Brother Scott, you believe in God. He told Peter, you believe in God. Those people, those disciples he's addressing, he said, you believe in God. He said, that's not the problem. The problem is you don't believe in me. That's why he said, Brother Jeter, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Why did he say that, believe also in me? It's because they weren't. They were not doing so. They had no confidence in the Lord. I want to say it right here. I want to say it right here as my last thought on what causes a troubled heart. Carnal problem, change problem, control problem, all them that we've mentioned. But right here, this one is a confidence problem. You know why our hearts get troubled? It's because we don't have confidence in Jesus Christ. Am I wrong on that? Y'all help me now. I don't want to preach error. I don't want to preach false doctrine. I don't want to say nothing ain't right. He said, you believe in God. In the same verse that he said, you've got a troubled heart. Did you know you can believe in God and still have a troubled heart? But here's what the problem was. Jesus said to Peter and them, the problem is you don't have confidence in me. And you know what that equals? You know what that equates to? Jesus was saying to Peter, you actually think that I'm making a mistake. That's why you don't have confidence in me. You believe in God. You don't have no problem believing God, but you can't believe me. Wow. How many of us believe that God created the worlds? Three of us in here raised our hand. That's great. We believe that God created the worlds. But then we don't have confidence to believe that He can work in my circumstance, that He can work in my life. Do you think that offends the Lord? Do you think that hurts Him when we, His followers, don't have confidence in Him? I mean, get this. Jesus is here asking for that.
Amen. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying, believe me. You don't have to understand me. You don't have to be able to explain me. He said, but believe in me. How many times I've got a troubled heart and was troubled because of it, because of my lack of confidence. Now, listen, I ain't a bit spiritual when I say it. I've had my confidence chipped away in the Lord. Listen, you can look down, Lord, surely not, preacher, actually not you. I'm being honest. Have your confidence diminished in Jesus. And you know how that surfaces? That book right there is His Word. And when I don't have confidence the way I need to have confidence in Him, I'm not interested in reading His Word. Prayer is communication of the Lord. And prayer without faith is useless. And so if my confidence has been shaken, Brother Ben, in prayer or in the Lord, it's going to show up in prayerlessness. Peter, you know why you're falling apart? Peter, you know why that you're acting and reacting the way you are? Is Peter, you just really don't have confidence in me. Oh, my stars. Boy, when I saw that, I'm telling the Lord used that to deal with me. Here I've known the Lord for 37 years, and I'm not no further and deeper with the Lord in my confidence than that. That's pitiful. That's pitiful on my part. That's pitiful on my part. Oh, I say unto you this morning in closing that a troubled heart is caused by a confidence problem. You know, we want to say, Lord, I'll believe you if you'll show it to me. That's the world's philosophy. Show it to me and I'll believe it. That's not faith. Faith says, Lord, I believe it whether I ever see it. According to what faith is described to be in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes the unseen, the eternal things, real as if you had seen them. I've never been to hell and thank God never will go, but it's real to me. Not as real as it should be, Brother Mike, we talked about that. I've never been to heaven, but it's made real to me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Brother Scott, but I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life. I may one day. I don't have to. I don't have to go and look in the R section and see my name. No, no, it's real to me now. Faith is that guarantee, that token, that down payment, that pledge, that promise that it's done, that it's done. I know I'm saved because I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. He's the earnest of my inheritance. How's your confidence? Do you have a control problem? We all do. Be honest, that's just an aspect of the flesh, buddy. Control problem. But you know what real faith says? And it's hard, and I'm telling you, the Lord's still teaching me this. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine this past week, and I was telling him how God's been helping me. I said, circumstances hadn't changed, situations hadn't changed. I don't see much that's changed. But I said, inwardly, in my spirit, I said, God is helping me. I can't explain that. I don't know. But Brother Jeter, a lot of that's come from this right here. Letting go and letting God. Lord, I don't understand why this and that. I want to be able to fix it. I want to be able to change it. I want to be able to stop it. Well, you can't do that on everything. Sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I don't understand it. I want to make sure I'm right. I want to make sure I'm right. Listen, that is first base. Lord, I want to make sure I'm right. I want to make sure that in my heart I'm right, Lord. I don't want to be wrong. I don't. I don't want to be wrong, church. I don't want to be wrong. I can't be right if I'm wrong. Does that make sense? But if I've searched my heart, Brother Mike, and I've made try to make sure my attitude's right and my thoughts are right and my heart's right, then I don't have no other choice but to say, Lord, I've got to just leave it with you. I've just got to leave it with you. Lord, I'd like to fix it, but I can't. It's bigger than me. I'd like to change it, but it's bigger than me. And there'll be times you'll be have your back against the wall and you'll think, Lord, if you don't help me, if you don't do something, Lord, I can't. And it's almost like that's where the Lord's trying to get us. Get us to the place where we say, all right, Lord, I can trust you with my soul, but I can also trust you with my situation. Lord, I can trust you with my destiny. Can I not trust you with my decisions and my direction? I can't explain to you what a freedom that has come into my spirit through that. Maybe the Lord's let, and here's what I've seen. The Lord will let you go through things so that you can turn around and help others that's coming behind you that's dealing with things. And I'm careful when I say this, but if I have to walk through that, whatever, to help somebody else. Let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a preacher, and I was just briefly sharing with him some of the things God has given me and speaking to me and working in me in my heart and in my spirit. And you know what that preacher said after a good bit of silence? He said, "Preacher, I'm listening." And here's what he said. It's not me, but I know what he said. He said, "Preacher, you're helping me." You know what that meant? Preacher, the same one that's helping you with that is now you're helping them. And Lord willing, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to be dealing with some hurting preachers. Brother Aldridge said, "Preacher," he said, I ain't telling you names, but he said, "There's going to be a pile of preachers here that's struggling." I said, son, I had a witness of God. I said, "Brother Aldridge," I said, "God's been dealing with me for weeks, prepping me, getting me ready to help somebody." Hallelujah. But anyway, the causes of a troubled heart. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, you take the message, dear Lord, and my sincerity, my honesty, and Lord, my desire to want to help people. Lord, I know how dangerous, and we're going to be looking at that. I know, Lord, how dangerous and how destructive a troubled heart is. Literally, there's been lives destroyed, homes destroyed, churches destroyed, ministries destroyed, marriages destroyed. Young people destroyed because of the continual control of a troubled heart. Lord, I ask you, dear Father, to work in the congregation here and the unseen congregation as well. Lord, I believe there's no doubt going to be people doing business with you in this invitation here. But I'm trusting you, Lord, that there'll be things happen. People will get down beside the couch or wherever they are, pull over on the side of the road, and they'll do business with you over a troubled heart. Lord, I ask you, please, to help me. Lord, I don't want to question you, and I don't want to live in a way that would cast doubt on my confidence in you. Peter, Lord, made it a statement that he would lay down his life for you, but you made it a question. Will you? because you knew that he didn't have confidence in Christ and the plan of God. He only had confidence in as long as Christ did what he wanted and what he liked and what was comfortable. Lord, I ask you to help me, help us, help our young people, help the adults here. Help us, Lord. We're needy people, Lord. And Lord, I've never looked at a troubled heart the way you're having me to look at it now. It is not my friend. My troubled heart is my foe. It is not spiritual. It is not produced of the Spirit. It's not the will of God. In fact, it's 100% of the flesh in its cooperation with the devil himself. Set us free. I'm believing you, Lord. Set us free from the manipulation of a troubled heart.